Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know I get the same problem.
Yeah.
Who's using these headsets?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, your boy Zazzo is absolutely deaf.
Yeah, but he's not the last one.
No, so. Talk. Or no, Duarte.
Duarte.
Yeah, you got to get the sound through all those muscles.
Sorry for the reaction, everybody. I just plugged in my headphones and I hadn't listened to anything, and I don't have a pure knob here. I just have kind of like a headphone nipple, and you kind of just have to play with it until you get to the right level. And I mean, this nipple was a little too aroused.
Crazy.
It's a little early for this, and
I'm sorry.
And I'm the weird guy.
Well, it's just the best way I can describe it. What else would you describe this as? A nub?
It's like Chandler Bing's third nipple. It's a nubbin.
Man. Monday Night Football last night, boys. Little doubleheader action. Didn't see the West Coast game. Don't expect that from us.
Yep, don't.
I think it's the first national football game that I didn't see a single second of in like 10, 20 years.
Really? Were you okay with that? Did you toss and turn, or were you okay?
No. I was like, you know, I woke up to some winners. I woke up to some losers. I mean, it's not the first time I did finish a game. But
I thought for sure the Raiders were going to be a mess, but they weren't.
No.
How about that Dolphins second first round pick?
It would have been different if AB was there when Gruden got there. But since they just added him, they weren't really counting on him. He was like a bonus.
Yeah, he literally wasn't in the preseason plans at all.
No, I just thought that with all the drama, there would be some shenanigans going on.
I mean, in fairness to them, it's been televised all preseason. So if anybody was used to the noise, it would have been them. Like, it would have been just, what is it, the AB news of the week? It literally was a thing for every week of training
Actually,
camp.
Actually, they have the coach that said, recording me? Great idea. Post that.
I heard that yesterday on the Levitard show. What is up with that?
So, people that missed it, I don't even know if we have the sound or what have you, but
we barely have internet.
Oh, okay. Levitard had the producer of the very highly produced commercial or video that AB sent out there where he's recording John Gruden. And Levitard's like, that's illegal. And the guy's like, yeah, I didn't know that. And then someone told me. So we sent it to the Raiders to see if they would sign off on it, thinking there's no way in hell. Gruden calls back and says, this is great. And they put the video out there.
Right.
I don't think they thought that it would lead to.
You know what? I think it's
maybe kinda, they did.
I think in the end, it's probably maybe it's gotten to the point where both sides got what they both wanted. Like Leroy was saying, they did want to probably get out of the guarantee. If they did know this was going to get released, maybe it seemed like it teed off into the right window of okay, this will give us our reason.
This is our out clause,
kind of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, I look at this situation, and you can look at it a couple of ways. One, AB never wanted to be there. And they kind of knew he didn't really want to be there. So, I mean, you had the coach trying to be overly accepting of AB. And the GM just got tired of it. Mike Mack just got tired of it.
And fed up. But that's one of those things where he's kind of brought in by Gruden. So if Gruden's really the top guy there, not Mayock, let's be honest. You know, like,
yeah, no,
he's
I
the
mean,
guy with the 10-year.
I get it, but I mean, think about it. I mean, basically he treated this whole situation like he was in Monday Night Football booth. Great player.
Great. Yeah,
you know, they were, I mean, Gruden has been overly nice and overly supportive of AB ever since he got there with all the situations.
Well, he does need talent. Like, look, he lost a lot of talent the year beforehand with them not paying Khalil Mack and then losing Amari Cooper and seeing what Amari Cooper did when he left him. in Dallas.
Right.
You know, at some point, you don't want to be the guy who everyone's going to say the game has passed you by. And he's kind of, he, you know, this if this year goes badly, people are going to start talking about that.
Sure.
You know?
Especially when he has another 8 years.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. We got our own problems down here. Is more reports of Dolphins wanting out.
Well, it's just kind of more detailed reports of Dolphins.
Well, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, we have the hype machine still going on in the Gables about Jaren Williams. All is well. Jaren Williams is great.
They're still cranking up the hype machine? I thought we fixed this yesterday.
No. Yesterday was big. Yesterday, we should have some sound, I think, that Zach might have sent in, where Jaren Williams is...
You're adorable.
Is great.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
All right, well, last night we had two Monday Night Football games. The first one, damn exciting, Saints.
Woo.
On a 58-yard field goal, beat the Texans.
Totally missed it.
What?
Yeah, I didn't even make it to the end of the first
game. Oh, I thought you said he missed it. I was like, wait, I watched it. 30-28. Drew Brees was hot, but you know who was hotter? It was Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. That pair is going to account for a lot of fantasy points this
year.
Let's
not forget.
Stills.
Kenny Stills, Duke Johnson. You name them.
They're going to be in the AFC Championship game, and that means the Dolphins will have the 30th pick in the first round.
You know what? I still got worries about Deshaun Watson holding up, man. That guy takes a lot.
Even with Tunsil.
That dude takes a lot. He kind of puts his body out there.
No, he does.
That touchdown jump he gets
airborne a lot.
Yeah, I feel like he takes a lot of crazy hits, man. I have worries about Deshaun Watson making it through a year.
But be careful with the offensive line. Take a minute for them to.
I was up by 30.
I didn't even feel like it was a protection issue though. I felt like he's just a guy who kind of just throws his body around.
You know what I call that? When quarterbacks sit there and just take the pounding because they're big. I call that the Ben Roethlisberger.
He doesn't sit there and take the pounding. He goes aloft and asks for it. That's a different story.
I mean, he does it in his own way. I mean, Ben just holds the ball.
Well, I wonder how hard it is
I don't think that
Ben's a different story. Ben, there was one point on Sunday night where Ben just like fell down and I feel like he like melted like a witch. Like just in the middle of the field, like a lump of something. But Deshaun Watson, he just wants to make stuff happen, but sometimes you got to have a little bit of restraint.
I mean, he definitely has. It's amazing that he has so many more weapons that he probably shouldn't have to do that as much as he does.
So in the second game, which I didn't see at all, and I apologize to all of you that I didn't see.
Neither did I.
Don't apologize. You're never going to see a game that starts that late.
Yeah, correct. The Raiders defeat the Broncos 24-16. Derek Carr, 259 yards and a touchdown. Josh Jacobs with 113 total yards, two touchdowns for Oakland. Joe Flacco, Tobin thinks he's a bum. 269 yards and a touchdown.
Who do you think who's a bum?
Joe Flacco. Before the show started, he's like, Joe Flacco, bum.
Man.
You agree?
Let's see.
A bum?
I felt like I was picking
Unless you're going to bring that Ravens defense he had for most of his career.
Oh, you know what? I apologize. Leroy said it first, Tobin jumped on the back of the bum comment.
That's what I feel.
Okay. Sorry. Right. My bad.
Right. See, look, he seconded the Flacco bum. I'm starting to second the Gase bum, but not yet.
You're not fully there yet?
No, I'm not.
Although, we did get was it Uncle John?
No, it was my Uncle Liam, actually.
Oh, the other uncle? All right. Uncle Liam chimed in on Tobin's text machine.
Don't give him,
you were exactly right about Gase.
He
has brainwashed his entire New York family.
I didn't brainwash anything.
Your entire family is a bunch of New Yorkers, and you brainwashed
them. This is a message for all of the Tobin clan. On both sides. Please don't give this man ammo.
This is what he said. He texted me yesterday. He goes, LOL. A lot of LOLs, actually. You effing called it. First press conference after the loss. Gase has completely alienated the entire New York media. Man, you nailed it. So I say, yep, hot garbage. He then sends me a comment, our text exchange from January.
So now he's sending sound. He's sending you sound.
No, he's sending me my text from January. And he asked me, how bad is this clown? And this is what I sent to him. Never scores on opening drive. Sulks when offense is bad. He'll cut anyone who rubs him the wrong way. Salty with media for the silliest bleep. He is good with fast slot receivers for one trick play a game. Tannehill statistically better under Philbin. Best record was a year with the running back, Jay Ajayi, who he didn't even want to play. Boom.
Boom.
And so now, like, all these guys, that's, you know that Manish Mehta?
Yes, of course.
This dude's such a hack. Like, he goes out there, goes all off season, he's like, Gase, he's the guy. He's an offensive wonder boy. He's got this together. And Gase on a conference call, he's just like, he's just like, I'll do whatever. Gase is telling people basically like, I don't know, I'm the head coach, do whatever I want. He's a grown toddler. It would be like making my son, a 3-year old, a head coach of an NFL football team, and you're asking him, like, because I want to. That dude's a bum. That sucks.
By the way, question. Mm-hmm. Would Dolphins fans be upset if the Dolphins got rid of Tunsil because he wasn't worth the money?
No.
I mean, 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick.
No. But I'm just saying.
Just saying, like, he's not an elite offensive lineman.
The first reaction was we got rid of our best offensive player.
Yeah.
And what if he wasn't? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he was, but isn't it all relative? He's the best offensive player on what team?
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's not the best on that team.
By the way, Tobin, you forgot to mention that he's a gelding, Adam Gase.
Such a gelding. No guts.
Do we know the difference between a gelding and a eunuch?
Gelding, I believe, is just fixed.
But still, like,
still has everything intact. Still,
isn't a eunuch no unit at all? Hey,
No. A eunuch has a unit, nuggets.
Still has the appliances, but the power's disconnected.
Well, so anyone that gets it snipped, that's your gelding?
No. A gelding, they just take away the refrigerator. What? Don't they...
I always thought a gelding was just a dude. It was a dude horse who can't produce babies.
Oh right, and the eunuch is
no. Gelding is a castrated animal.
Yeah, so they're the same thing.
Versus eunuch.
Was eunuch more for human?
Possibly.
Unsullied.
Oh, there's an article in the Miami New Times called "My Life as a Eunuch."
We'll be back after this.
Shake that thing, miss. Can I shake that
thing, miss?
Sneak attack.
We were just commenting on my haircut. No.
The song was a little sketchy, so I wanted to make sure I faded the song out really quickly.
No, I was just saying that I don't like getting my hair cut. I don't like leaving it too long. Like, I had the option. It's kind of like when you're staring down the mirror, and the dude's like, hey, what do you want to do here? I'm just like, it's really hot. Just go short. Go short, because it's so hot, Leroy. I just got done taking off my shutters yesterday. I was like melting. It's so ridiculous.
Well, a little cardio won't hurt you.
Wasn't cardio, though.
That's cardio. That's close enough.
Is it? I'm sitting there twisting off knobs in just boiling heat.
Yeah.
Boiling heat. It's going.
What kind of shutters do you have? You don't have to do the screws and the interlocking?
They're like plexiglass, I guess what you would call them, or plastic. It's kind of like what I guess it's not what hot. It's not as thick as hockey glass, but it's basically, yeah, it goes over your windows and you have wing nuts that go on top of them.
Oh, okay.
So
every let me guess. Every hurricane you have to go buy wing nuts.
I stocked up this one. I think I'm now overstocked on wing nuts.
Okay.
So I think
because they run out. That's like one of the people don't realize they run out of stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. It was actually it was one of those things where I went there and I felt like everybody bought the wrong wing nuts. They actually had the right wing nuts at the top of Home Depot. So yeah, we got a lot to get to as far as our football teams are concerned. There's a lot of. A lot of stuff still going on with the Miami Dolphins and people's happiness there. We're also going to talk to Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta today, boys.
Whoa.
What?
Yep. Oh, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Tillman Fertitta. He owns the Houston Rockets, that annoying franchise with their GM who just comes out with 1,000 reasons why James Harden is MVP. And so we're going to talk to him about rich people bleep. I wonder what – do you think Tillman Fertitta has a beast? Like somebody who's just kissing ass at all points.
Of course.
Like just like as a bazillionaire, you got to be having people kiss ass at all times. Or at some point, do you just say no one gets near me? And then there's maybe an underling of Tillman Fertitta that has an ass kisser that is beast.
What
I would say one of the people that probably doesn't have a beast is Mark Cuban.
Really?
No.
I think Mark Cuban's got a beast.
I think everyone has a beast. Everyone corporate has a beast.
Everyone needs a patsy. That's just like
correct.
Just fluffing the ego.
Fall guy.
I guess. So yeah, we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock today. But yesterday, the Miami Dolphins, they had to lick their wounds a little bit, watch some film.
A little bit. They needed stitches and intensive care.
They need to go to the ER.
Yeah.
And get that all done. Just get all fixed up.
Oh yeah. And they need to be resuscitated to get ready for this week.
Yeah. But there's a couple interesting things I think that came out of yesterday. So Flores had to react to the story of Pro Football Talk and kind of just, you know, blew it off and is just like, listen, I can't speak to the accuracy of that. We haven't received any information that I know of. But then the Miami Herald came out yesterday and they kind of added on to it. And they let it be known that there are actually at least 3 Miami Dolphins players who spoke to their agents on some level discussing about wanting to go to another team if they saw happen in a game during the preparation continues. According to league sources familiar with the conversations, a 4th player discussed with family members how badly the team performed and jokingly spoke of avoiding another such episode by requesting release or perhaps retiring. This player was merely engaging in the gallows of humor following a blowout loss. But it did go on to say there was a lot of frustration in that locker room with the game plan, especially with the idea that the coaches went into this basically preparing them for only having to stop the run because nobody thought Lamar Jackson was going to do that.
Yeah, okay. Agreed. It's a great game plan. But you got to stop the run. You can't say we're going into a game saying we're going to stop the run and the first play is 50 yards.
Right.
You're done. If you don't stop, the one thing you go in the game is stop. If Lamar Jackson throws for 500 yards, you can deal with that if they run for 50 yards. But if they run for 150.
Yeah, they bullied you at the gate.
Right. So again, as a player, you are in no position to complain about what the game plan was when you didn't stop anything.
They hit you with everything.
You didn't. If the coaches say, hey, we're going to do everything in our power to stop the run and make Lamar Jackson beat us. Sounds like a sound plan. That's what I would have did.
Right.
If he beat you, he beat you. Because there is no proof. There is no proof at that point in time that he could win a game just throwing the football. It was always a combination of both.
But it's also one of those things where, why wouldn't you?
Jesus, bro.
Did you really try to move away from the mic?
Yes.
I was wondering why he was leaning like this.
Yeah, he's like,
and then his small internal combustion.
The leaning tower of reflux.
So I get it. I get them saying that because it sounds like a sound plan. But you can't miss tackles. You can't. You know, if you were to stop the run and they threw 500 yards, you could complain about the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if you go into the game saying we're going to stop the run and you don't stop the run and you don't make tackles, hey, man, that's like what game plan is going to change anything?
The report also went on to say that the players were upset that no adjustments were made, especially on deep safety help for defensive backs. Minka Fitzpatrick, Eric Rowe, or Jamal Wiltz, all responsible for covering receivers. The 47-yard touchdown against Rowe was actually just a slant, but when Rowe was unable to make the play, Brown had a clear path to the end zone because there was no free safety in the middle for the Dolphins. Dolphins coaches stubbornly continued to provide no deep safety help, and the only time it worked was the one time that Xavier Howard broke up what would have been yet another long touchdown pass. That was a good play by him.
Okay.
And he was celebrating, but they were down 3 touchdowns.
I remember that. I know. Robbie was like, why are you celebrating?
Okay.
You know, it was funny, too. I saw that yesterday on the Dolphins Twitter account. It was Kim Bocamper and Brian Flores, and it's like, Kim Bocamper and Brian Flores break down the Xavier Howard breakup. I was like, oh, man, that's slim pickings.
That is slim pickings. But, look, you're in a tough spot because anybody will tell you, if you're going to stop the run and you're going to make every attempt to stop the run, which, again, before that game starts, what are you thinking? We got to stop the run.
Right. And especially the quarterback. Like, that's we all go into this game thinking that Lamar Jackson's going to be the best runner on the field. He's going to be the best athlete, and it wasn't even a thing for him.
Did we even forget they had Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I thought they had T. Sizzle going into last week.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know they had Mark Ingram.
So, but think about this. When you stop the run, who do you stop the run with? Bring a safety and put him in the box.
Right.
So, you want him to sit a safety deep? And you want to defend the one thing that you think the quarterback can't do?
Yeah, and you are right. Like, if you come out of the game, if you start off the game getting punched in the face with a 50-yard run, then, like, where's the help going
to
be?
What do you want the adjustment to be? If you go into a game and you say, we're going to make Lamar Jackson beat us with the pass, and you're going to do everything in your power to stop the run, so you have, in effect, is an 8-man box, mm-hmm. and guys close to the line of scrimmage and not deep, and then you still give up a 50-yard run, what adjustment you want to make there?
Says at least one player relayed frustration to his agent about playing time. It wasn't so much that he was upset about the number of plays that he got, but rather he believes himself a better player than the one the coach replaced him with. Sources speaking here, all this saw the failure of the coaching staff. They understand that the Miami roster is not deep or great, but they believe if the players involved were put in better position of adjustments quickly, the players could succeed. I really don't know, man. That game was so ridiculous. I don't feel like you could look at that and say there's any level right. where they can complain about
right.
succeeding.
Look.
It's really hard to defend. I understand. Look, when you lose a game and you give up just under 60 points, there's failures everywhere. I'm not saying the coaching staff didn't fail. They obviously failed. But also, the players kind of have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, like, whoa.
No matter what the game plan is, we can't allow this to happen.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's my point. And so, but I will say this. You think you know what your team and what your players can do. But until it actually gets in a game, then you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the adjustments will come, you know, now and in the future. But here's the problem. You don't play Baltimore Ravens every week.
That's true.
So while you're making adjustments on your team, you still have to game plan for the next team.
Yeah, but the thing that's also tough with that is, you know, he's going to be in this position where I feel like Flores is going to be looked upon as this is, if you're going to know any team on how to scheme them and how to stop them, it should be your former team because you saw them in practice all year last year. Granted, they're going to have Antonio Brown, but he just doesn't have the horses right now.
Right. And
he just doesn't. Like when everybody's coming at them and they're like, well, I wasn't in this position and I didn't have this and I didn't have that. It's like, well,
get it.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Like, think about this.
You think that would have made a difference, sir?
Think about this. Here's what sucks about this. And they may have some valid points. And if it were a closer game, I would have maybe bought into it.
Right.
Okay. But there's a game plan for everything. You just might not have the horses to defend it.
Yeah.
Because at some point, no matter what your coach, you know, what game plan your coach has, at some point, like last week, Mark Ingram was going to actually get the football and you were going to have to tackle him. Lamar Jackson was actually going to drop back for a pass because you're loading up the box and you're going to have to defend the pass. And no matter what the game plan is, the fact still remains, you still have to compete against the guy across from you. And to then turn around, think about this. You know how big a competitor I am. Think about these guys. After a game, to go into a locker room as big of a competitor as you are, and you are presumed to be, to come in and say, well, I didn't have as much success because I didn't get help. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's weird in itself.
It's just a tough thing because I think when you are that competitive, it's probably hard to look at yourself in the mirror and wonder why you got whooped that bad. And so I think you can only lead to saying, oh, well, we just weren't put in this position to succeed. But, I mean, from the outside looking in, what we saw I mean, if you were to sway it like on a pie chart, scheme versus lack of talent. I mean, I'm going like 85% lack of talent,
right?
As to why they got their ass kicked that bad, right. Not the coaching plan.
Flores said he did a bad job coaching. Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Bill Belichick has been saying that for 20 years.
Got to coach
every
better.
Every time they lose. Right.
Got to coach better. Got to prepare
right.
better.
Right. Exactly. So, but I would say this. I think it's very important. It's very important now going into the future that the coaches are more aware of what the players can do. Right, and the players to be have a little more fight in them,
yeah,
like a little more fight. Like it was too easy, right? It was too easy to hear these comments instead of somebody stepping up and saying, "Look, I don't care what you think about our talent. This is not acceptable by us."
Yeah,
nobody came out and said that. And normally, when you have a team that's gonna fight and scratch and claw, that's the message that would come out of that room and out of that locker room, is that that's not acceptable. I don't give a damn what the game plan is. You can't go out there and give up 59 points. That's not what's coming up.
We're back after this. Troy Green. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin, Leroy, and Beast.
Someone's riding that DB like Seabiscuit. Jeez.
Well, people are revolting, man. He's gone, so you got to revolt. That's what you got to do. I got to tell you, you know who one of my favorite players to watch is? I know this isn't like groundbreaking news to anybody. I love watching Alvin Kamara play football. He's fun. He's
shifty.
Fun, man. He's shifty.
He does everything.
He waits. He goes. Right. He's just an awesome player to watch.
You know who Le'Veon Bell's like that?
Yeah.
Just bigger.
Yeah. He's just so much fun. I got to tell you, too, man, like it's impressive seeing that offense crank the way it does because that Drew Brees arm is not there anymore. I mean, it's
you see how he has to wind up to throw it?
It's Pennington-esque. It's really like – it's impressive that they're able to do it. I mean, it's no wonder they have the athletes they do. Now, that being said, I mean, he's still chucking it all over the field.
You could tell.
As far, like, he's still finding Ted Ginn down for, like, 20 yards.
You could tell last year. You know what I mean? You could tell last year there was a couple of times he went to throw the ball deep down the middle.
Yeah.
And it was, wah, wah.
He's just like, oop, not there for that one. I mean, still very impressive. That place is so loud, too. What an impressive. It's one of those things where you're just like, man, I can't think of any place that's as intimidating to play as that place on a primetime game.
I would say this, that even as a kid, it was fun when you got an opportunity to go. It was awesome. And I can't really explain another place that I've been, even as a player or a visitor, that's been like, I would say maybe Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
to where that's it. That's it. Buddy, you spending your last to get to a Saints game. And my childhood, we sucked. You know, the Saints sucked. So, it's weird. It's funny, man. That game was unbelievable.
Robbie was chirping. He thinks that the Dolphins' first-round pick that they're going to get from Houston is going to be at the end of the first round.
Of course it is.
No, when they traded him, that's the first thing I thought. It's like basically they got 3 second-round picks because Houston's never going to be.
I mean, you thought
best,
it would be
the best that pick it could be is 26?
I mean, it could be low 20s if they get bounced in the first round.
Okay, but we're talking, okay, you got 32 teams, 8 teams go to the playoffs.
Well, 12, because 6 from each conference.
Well, 12, okay, so the 20.
Yeah, that's probably the worst it could be.
The worst it could be is 20. So,
I mean, if it wasn't for the Patriots, they'd be in the Super Bowl.
Here's the problem that they might. It might be a little bit better than 20 simply because, well, no, it can't be better than 20 if they because I figure they're gonna probably win the division.
And that Jacksonville just lost Nick Foles for a significant period of time.
Oh, I'm telling you. Gardner Minshew.
I'm bracing myself. They traded for some Steelers.
Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah, they traded for the Steelers backup yesterday. I'm telling you, I think if the Titans weren't in a division, I think Tannehill would be on the Jaguars yesterday. I really do.
Really?
Yeah, I think they would have traded for him. But I think the Titans are going to be like, no, we're not helping you. Get the hell out of here.
But wait, then how would you feel?
I mean, I'd be fully bracing myself. I don't know how I'd feel. I'd just be like, all right.
You called him a bum while he was here.
I don't feel like I ever called him a bum, but I've never been impressed with a guy. I've just never been impressed with a guy. But we didn't talk about this yesterday. Did you see the fight with Mike Scott of the 76ers?
No.
At the Philadelphia 76ers tailgate?
No.
Okay, so
76ers had a tailgate.
I mean, the Eagles tailgate. So Mike Scott is a Redskins fan. Okay.
Oh.
And he shows up to this tailgate and he's rocking what I think is a Sean Taylor Redskins jersey.
Oh, is this the casket thing?
Yeah. And so these Eagles had a tailgate going on and they have a casket, as you'll see here, Leroy. I'll swing it to YouTubies. And there's some Redskins paraphernalia on there. People don't know if it's a Sean Taylor shirt or a Sean Taylor jersey. And Mike Scott did not like this. And he went over there to this horde of Eagles fans, and it's just started going down. He starts fighting like five of them. One big boy goes down, and that they had no chance. And Mike's got a big fella, so he starts squaring up on these dudes. But yeah, that's a crazy situation. This dude plays in their hometown, but you know Eagles fans, they're degenerates. They're the worst.
I gotta tell you, I'm trying to think of another place. I mean, most of the place you go to is in good fun. Like when you played in Green Bay, you knew you were going to get mooned.
Yep.
Right? Which, like, nobody really knew the backstory behind the Randy Moss thing. Well, that's the backstory.
The Joe Buck thing. Yeah, mooning is funny.
Every time you'd go to a Green Bay game, all the fans would moon the bus coming in.
And that's got
to
be
That's what Randy did.
That's got to be some pasty cheeks.
From what I've heard of, what Forbes has told us of Virginia Tech, they're pretty nasty. Remember a few years ago?
They put the with the banner?
Yeah.
Bury the U next to Jose Fernandez. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Another place, believe it or not, is Wisconsin, right?
Oh, this dude looks like Bagel Boss. Like, what are you doing? Sir, honestly, this dude, look at this guy, because this is a better view. Look at this guy who decides to square up on Mike Scott. Well, he does have a guy between him, so that does help. But like that just seems like a terrible idea, sir.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
Why are all the little white guys letting the black guys go fight? Watch.
Is that guy black?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely black.
Look. Oh, and then then Bagel Boy comes in afterwards, and he gets clocked through the other guy.
Uh-oh, Bagel Boss is squared up now.
Well, no, nobody's fighting. Like, at that point, nobody's fighting. See what I'm saying?
Woo!
He landed the hammer on Bagel Boss. Yeah, it's always a trouble when you're facing a 6'10 dude that you're going to get Deontay Wilder because he could just reach over all of you.
Yeah.
Apparently, we're getting word that it's not a Sean Taylor jersey.
We get one text.
It's not. I don't know if it's a Sean Taylor jersey, but it might be a Sean Taylor shirt.
Well, I mean, I'm going to forward you guys the picture right now. I just got sent the picture. It's not. There's no. At least from that picture, there was no Sean Taylor shirt or jersey of any kind.
Well, he is wearing a Sean Taylor jersey. Mike Scott.
Well, I mean, at least on the casket.
Yeah, Scott is wearing a Sean Taylor jersey, so maybe he heard them say something about Sean Taylor. Maybe somebody said something about Sean Taylor, and it was just maybe a Redskins coffin.
Right.
And somebody said something like, oh, you know, just like Sean Taylor's in there. Maybe he said something like that. Either way.
That's possible.
Dude represented for Sean Taylor. It's cool with me, even if he is a 76er.
How about this? We used to go, like, you get to play in every – I play in every place twice, right?
Yep.
So – first time I played in Wisconsin, when you come through the tunnel, they would throw stuff at you because it's the student section, it's right there, right? Okay. They just throw stuff.
It says on the coffin, it says, party like it's 1991. Is that the last time that the Redskins won a Super Bowl?
I believe that is against Buffalo.
Yeah, so it's not a Sean Taylor jersey.
Well, I don't know. Is this the same thing that's on the coffin there? Because
Let me see. Doing some investigative work, guys. I'm a journalist.
Of course you are.
By
the way, I love the sign.
Impressions of the South Florida crowd tonight. It's been a while since you guys have been here.
Dana White had such a funny move this past weekend, where they had a they were in Abu Dhabi and they had a Chechenian dictator Ramzan Kadyrov there.
Yep.
In the crowd because he's boys with Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy's he's a bad guy. He's done genocide on homosexuals in his own country. He is boys with Putin, and there's a real sports piece on him, and he's talking about how he wishes that mixed martial arts was fight to the death.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That's the way it should be. He's talked about like taking that Russia's going to take its nukes, bend the world over, and bring it to its knees and all that stuff. Like, he's a bad guy. So apparently he's friends with Khabib. And this gets coverage every time Khabib fights, but this is the first time that he's actually gone to one of his fights that's in the UFC. But Dana White has a move, and it's similar to when like a player will pretend they don't speak English that great. But Dana's move is he pretends he's deaf. Now, mind you, Dana really does have a thing that has taken a lot of his hearing in one of his ears. So you'll go into press conferences and he'll be like this. He'll be like, "What? Huh? Huh?" And he has to like look at the PR person and they tell him what he says. But if it's a controversial topic, then the hearing goes completely. So dude goes, imagine this guy was a Tobin version in Abu Dhabi. He goes, "Dana, I just wanted to find out what Ramzan Kadyrov was doing at the fight tonight. And did you speak with him?" And Dana goes, "What? Huh? Ramzan Kadyrov? Who? What? What did he say? Huh?" And the PR guy says, "Ramzan Kadyrov? Huh? I don't know that guy. Huh? What? I don't know what you said." And then just moves on. Next question. All of a sudden he hears perfectly. He goes, "Yeah, Dana, what do you think about the next matchup for Khabib?" "I think he's going to fight Tony Ferguson." It's like just perfect hearing. It's a move. It's a move. And nobody can prove him wrong.
I like it.
How do you not know that the guy can't hear?
I like it a lot.
Crazy. Dana, I just want to get your impressions of the dictator at your fight tonight. It's been a while since you've had a dictator at your fight. Huh? Excuse me? It's a power move. We got your headlines next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.